Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes a week of questions and answers.
Welcome to the program today, and once again we are going to be taking questions from the Bible that relate to the work and role of the Holy Spirit. And in our final day, we're going to be focusing on important subjects in relationship to the work and role of the Holy Spirit. Robert Jaramillo is with us again today to help ask some questions and as well as give his insight onto this important subject. So, Rob, welcome back.
It's good to be here, Brian. This last week, we've been looking at different focuses on the Holy Spirit, its power, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I guess an expected question would be, what else is there with the Holy Spirit? Is there something else in the believer's life with the Holy Spirit that we're supposed to experience?
That's an insightful question, because so often when we think of the Holy Spirit, we focus so much on his power and the gifts, but we fail to remember that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a third person of the Trinity. He is sovereign God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so for us just to focus on the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit is shortcutting the true work and ministry and role that the Spirit of God wants to play in our lives. And in Acts chapter 8, which we've looked at several times this week, it's where Simon the sorcerer apparently, or at least on the surface, comes to faith. He responds to the preaching of Philip. He's even baptized. And then when the apostles come down and they lay hands on the believers there, and the Spirit of God comes upon them, Simon has an interesting response in verse 18 and verse 19. It says, "Now when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.'" And so here what Simon wanted, according to verse 19, he said, "Give me this power." And so he was interested in power, not in the true work of the Holy Spirit. And so often I think movements can get so focused on the Holy Spirit, and the only thing they focus on is the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's really, I believe, an offense to the sovereign God, the Holy Spirit, who he is. He's more than just a power or a force to accomplish things. And the way I could illustrate that is if you were a wealthy individual and you had all sorts of money and someone married you, but they only married you for one reason, and that was to get money from you, and every time they saw you, they said, "Give me money, give me money, give me money," you'd begin to realize that they don't really know who you are. They don't know your nature. They're not really in love with you. They're more in love with something that you could give to them. And so often, believers' relationship with the Holy Spirit falls into that category of just viewing him as a power or someone to receive gifts from, where I think God, the Holy Spirit, is saying, "I'm much more than a power. Yes, I am a powerful being, but I am a person that we need to have a relationship with. We worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And just to focus on the power is shortcoming the beauty and the wonders that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to our life. And so there is a passage in John chapter 16 where Jesus spoke about the work of the Holy Spirit or the coming purposes of the Holy Spirit. In John 16 and verse 14, he said this, "He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." So what we see that the role that the Holy Spirit is going to do is going to glorify Jesus Christ, take what is of the Lord's and bring to us. When Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit, he said that "I will send another helper." And that word "another" means one of the same kind. So the Holy Spirit is like Jesus Christ. And wouldn't that be offensive? And it was to Jesus when they just wanted his power. Remember when he did the miracle, he fed the multitude. They came back the next day. They didn't really want the teaching of Jesus Christ. They didn't want him as Lord and Savior, but they wanted the food that he could bring them. And so often people focus on the Holy Spirit that way of just looking for the gifts and the power. And I think that's shortcoming what God has to offer in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so the work and role of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ, to take of what is Jesus Christ and declare it to us. And so if we're really being empowered and led and guided by the Holy Spirit, we're going to be receiving, yes, power and gifts, which is a blessing to us, but also we're going to be coming more like Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit's going to take of what is the Lord and apply it to our life. So be warned. Don't just view the Holy Spirit as a power, but realize that he is the third person of the Trinity, and he wants to impart the life of Jesus Christ to us. And also we see that the Holy Spirit has a will. In Acts chapter 13, he speaks to the church. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to the church, and he says this to them in relation to outreach, in relation to missions of sending people out. It says, "As they ministered to the Lord," in verse 2, "and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them.' So the Holy Spirit also calls people into service and wants them to be separated unto Him, unto His power, unto His mission, unto His purposes. And again, His purpose isn't just to come and have people have these Holy Ghost goosebumps, as people want to call them, or, you know, be all emotional. It's to bring about the purposes and plans that are consistent with the nature of Christ. And so when we receive of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be receiving of the nature of Christ. And it was Christ's nature to reach out, to help people, to come and to serve others, not to be served. And so now the Holy Spirit's saying, I want to send these two men out to get the message of the gospel out in all places in the world, Barnabas and Saul. And so again, we see the Holy Spirit taking of what is Christ, of His nature, to reach out and to direct the church that way.
And the other aspect we see in Romans, I think Romans chapter 8, if you want to learn about the Holy Spirit in your personal life, it's one of the greatest chapters. Verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, and He also makes intercession for us. He prays for us. He wants to be personally involved, even in our very weaknesses in our life.
Yeah, that's an interesting word that Paul uses for helps there. It literally means to be with, alongside, and to carry, all those put together. So the Holy Spirit comes alongside to be with us, to carry these burdens that we have. And so that does describe an intimacy. It's not just power or a force raining upon somebody, but actually Holy Spirit walking with us, helping us in our weaknesses. And boy, we have a lot of weaknesses. And here in verse 26, it mentions we don't know how we should pray as we ought. And isn't that true of all of us? There's so many times we want to pray for our own needs, for others. We don't really know what it is that God wants. But the Holy Spirit, and this is a good part, Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And when the Holy Spirit prays, He always prays according to the will of God. That's what verse 27 of Romans 8 says. Mm-hmm. Now, He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So I believe we have Jesus making intercession for us, the Holy Spirit making intercession for us, and they know what God's will is, absolutely. Because again, the Holy Spirit has the same nature as God, as the nature of Jesus. And Jesus said, have you seen me? You've seen the Father. So they're working together to bring about God's purposes. So when they pray, when they intercede, it's according to God's perfect plan to bring God's plan about. So once again, we see this personal interaction that we have with the Holy Spirit of Him helping us in our prayer.
Pastor Brian, there's a question I'd like to ask on a personal level. Where have you really seen the assistance of the Holy Spirit in your life?
As I look back on my entire life as a Christian, I believe the Holy Spirit helps me each and every day, each and every moment. Whether that's in dealing with, as we saw in Romans 8, in praying, the Holy Spirit will put desires upon your heart. He also makes intercession for us. Also, in area of temptation, we need God's power to help us overcome and resist the weaknesses of our own flesh, as well as the demonic attack that will come upon our life. Thank God He hasn't left us by ourselves. And then just in the area of ministry, one of my favorite passages of all the Bible that relates to the area of ministry and the Holy Spirit is Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Mm. And this is one that I just absolutely hang on to, where He said to Zerubbabel, who was trying to get the people involved in rebuilding the temple, and if you think of that, that would have been the most important thing that needed to take place. Zerubbabel had that calling to help see the temple rebuilt, that place where God met with man. So he was involved in a spiritual ministry, but yet for a number of years, the people stopped rebuilding the temple. There was some resistance that happened there in the book of Ezra, so the people got discouraged. And now I'm sure Zerubbabel is saying, how is this going to come about? And so often in the ministry, you realize, I have the most important responsibility to get the word of God out to people. How are we going to do this? And that message comes in Zechariah 4, verse 6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So it's not by the collective might or power or ingenuity of Zerubbabel with the people or the resources of the people. It's by God's spirit that these things are going to be accomplished. And so I've taken that passage to really bring a lot of peace to my heart in the area of ministry. I don't have to bring about salvation of people in the church. I don't bring about growth. I don't bring about the direction. God is the one that is supplying that. So my ministry is a lot more enjoyable. Basically, it's like I'm along for the ride watching what God is doing, rather than me trying to plead with God to do something and to run out ahead and ask God to bless my plans. It's like a wave that comes through and He picks us up, and we ride along that and are able to see and stand back and watch God's power work. And it's a lot more enjoyable that way, a lot less pressure. So my entire ministry is based on that truth there found in in the scripture. So this is one of those foundational passages that I did not come up with myself, but our beloved pastor, Pastor Chuck Smith, is the one that has mentored that, has modeled that for us, has at our pastors' conferences expressed the importance of this, of not getting into programs and man-centered ideas and man's power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I am so blessed to have that taught to me and exampled for my life and for my ministry. And as I said, it brought so much more joy rather than so much pressure that many ministers of the gospel experience. Once again, we're out of time. This has been a great week looking at issues, questions that relate to the person and work and role of the Holy Spirit. Rob, thank you for being here this week.
Thanks a lot. It was good to be here again.
And we'll look forward to being with you next time on Solid Ground.